This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
You're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week we are featuring Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce and Steve Davis as well. We're bringing you back, Steve. Back again.
I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely, and we're glad to have you here. And so grab yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of juice. Our conversation begins right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, it is our mission to provide the families of this area with caring, compassionate, and professional funeral services, and to assist them as they celebrate the life of the loved one they have lost. At Plummer Funeral Home, we provide families of all faiths and cultures with respect, compassion, and comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and come to terms with their loss. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott here with you. Our guest this week, Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce, and Steve Davis, making his triumphant return back to the studios, is here as well. Mickey, you put me in an awkward position. This past weekend. That was the first time I've ever seen you smile while working. You were actually smiling. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish.
The Crime Stoppers organization, great organization, had a jail and bail fundraiser, party in the park in Litchfield.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, Steve Bryant, was kind of nonchalantly working, so I put him in jail. Next thing you know it, Mickey grabs my wrist, and now I'm in jail with Steve Bryant. So as many kids have been that were in that jail, that had to have been a good fundraiser for you guys.
Yes. In 3 hours that I worked it, everybody stayed out of my way after they saw how I was working it and had a good system going. The kids loved it. Mm-hmm. There was three or four of them that didn't really like it, but they got a little bit out of hand, smart and everything, and we let them go. We didn't want to play with them, but they came back later because they saw how fun it was.
Absolutely.
The way it worked is somebody put down $2 to have them arrested and put in jail. The gals that work on the table, they signed the warrant. So the person who paid the $2 took it and gave it to me. And they took the kid, showed me which kid it was because I wasn't going to chase him. A 77-year-old man chasing these 15-year-old kids. They run too fast. So they tell you, that one there. Fine. I went over up there and say to him, excuse me, what is your name? And they'll tell me, Steve Davis. And I said, Mr. Davis, you're under arrest and we have to take you to jail. What did I do?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At first, that's how the reaction. Then it become, oh, who did that? Mm-hmm. And we take them and put them in there, and they stayed 10 or 15 minutes. And as soon as they could bail out, they paid $5 to bail out. They usually got somebody to put. And they come out, and I tell them, now, look, if you want to get back in him, go over there and put $2 down, and I'll go get him to put you in there, and we'll put him in there. That's how it ball fired. And we did over 100 kids. Not kids, 100 people.
Sure.
Most of them were kids because they were just doing each other.
So somebody had to put $2 down to have Tobin arrested.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that was Steve.
By the way, who did? Was that you?
No, I did not put $2 down.
You wouldn't tell me if it was you.
It wasn't worth it.
Okay.
So Tobin's there and Steve Bryant's there.
Steve Bryant.
President of the Chamber of Commerce in Litchfield.
Okay, and they're both in there. Now Mr. Bryant gets released?
No. No,
we were in there at
Tobin
the same time.
Interviewed him for almost 2 minutes.
A jailhouse interview.
Yeah. Right.
We made our final phone call, our only phone call from inside the jail.
And then what happened? Mr. Bryant goes out on his own recognizance, and Tobin is still in.
Somebody bailed him out, but he's still in there, and he don't know what to do. He's got a serious face on him. And we felt sorry for him, but nobody would bail him out. That was the funny part about the
whole how long thing. Was Tobin incarcerated
about
for?
About 25 minutes.
Oh, what? My.
Seriously?
Yes. Ah. And, you know, after 15 or 20 minutes, if it was an adult, nobody would bail him out. We would release him.
On their own recognizance.
Oh, yeah, right. And the thing is, we wouldn't let the kids go because we wanted the kid
right.
to learn something there. And one kid, I think, learned something because the last time we put him in there, we penalized him for lifting up the jailhouse and sneaking out and taking off.
Oh, my.
That's so right. he come back floating in. We didn't chase him. Come floating back. About 15 minutes, we just walked over and said, "You're under arrest," and we put him back in there. And this time we had somebody guarding that thing.
Well, there you go.
All right. Let's talk a little bit here. Change the subject here. No, it was a good time.
We raised some money for a good cause.
And Crime Stoppers. Raised money for the Crime Stoppers organization.
It helps pay. It pays the reward that if they tip the Crime Stoppers off, they get paid a thing.
Right.
But everything is anonymous. Nobody knows
That's
anybody.
Correct.
Let's talk about something else here. Why Steve is here. Summer Concert Series.
Yes,
how
sir.
How's that going so far?
Well, we had the 8th of the 9th one last night.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go?
And it was probably the second. No, it was the first hottest one this year.
Oh, right.
Temperature was 93 and the humidity was not very good. But the people were there, and they were buying my strawberry shortcakes like crazy again.
Now, we'll have those again next Tuesday, right?
Oh, yes. We need you to plug it.
I will.
Who Scrap Iron and Gold, wasn't it?
Correct.
And how did they do? They did pretty good?
They did very fine. The music was, they overwent. The public wanted them to play some more at 8:30.
And they went overtime.
They went overtime.
That's not bad at all.
No.
Now, Tobin, you've had his strawberry shortcakes, haven't you?
I have not had a strawberry shortcake from him yet.
Oh, my gosh. I have.
I may have to take a trip next Tuesday when you're performing.
Oh, my.
And
I mean, that we sell an average of 150 a night.
Now, that's you have incredible. More if you can sell more.
Oh, we always have. Our goal is always have 200 on hand.
Now, I have to say, now I'm going to be honest with you. Was it last year or the year before we sold out of them?
Right, because if you remember,
I can't.
It was a record-breaking heat of 113 with the humidity of 99.
Do I know? Yes, I do know.
Yes, I know you do. Remember, I do too.
I was on stage for 90
minutes.
He
was in the jumpsuit with the lights on.
Oh,
him,
yeah,
so
yeah.
That's right.
He knows.
But
oh,
the
I
thing
do.
Is, and the people there, we were over 850 people that night.
Wow.
I mean, the attendance was off just a hair.
Sure.
But because we expected that, but we had plenty of strawberry
that was,
shortcake.
You said that was last year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
In 2012.
2012, Mickey runs up to me and he says, "We've sold out of strawberry shortcakes." That noise you heard was me falling over.
Let's talk a little bit. You'll be on the stage next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wrapping it up. You're the closer.
I guess
Trevor Rosenthal.
I guess I'm the closer for the. I'm honored after all these many years for my good friend Mickey Robinson to come out here in this community of Benelde and
see, you do have a friend, Mickey.
Oh, you do. It's me, and I'll do 90-minute set out there, and folks can have fun. It's a nice little community based thing. Bring a lawn chair. Mickey's got strawberry shortcakes while supplies last.
Is it you, or are you bringing your friends along too?
Just me.
Just you.
He does a solo on this one.
On this one, it's just me by myself. Okay. But in the fall, at the fall festival, I'll have both the band. I have the band and Patsy Cline and Buddy Holly.
Okay.
But tonight, next Tuesday, I should say, it'll just be solo Elvis.
90 minutes. He don't stop either.
No.
You've got quite a bit of material.
Oh,
to
yeah.
fall back on.
Oh, absolutely, oh, yes. Absolutely.
All I can say is. You can hear them songs off and on and everything with him, and they still sound just like they did back in the 50s, 60s more, weren't it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because I remember he was in Germany. I went into Germany about the time he was leaving Germany when I was in the service there. But it's just unbelievable. He starts and he doesn't stop, and he have a spotlight on him. And when it gets a little bit about 8 o'clock, it really shows up that white outfit whichever one you have.
I don't know which one we're going to. It's like a pitching rotation. Depends on who's on the not on the disabled list. So we bring out.
What's your favorite Elvis song to sing?
Well, there's a number of good ones I enjoy.
He can't name one.
I can't. No, it's like asking someone to name their favorite child. You know, it's you know, they're all you love them all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some that I think the fans react to more. Depends on the evening. Sometimes Love Me Tender gets a nice reaction.
Don't Be Cruel.
Don't Be Cruel gets a huge reaction. Suspicious Minds is always a fan favorite.
Yeah, you know? Go there.
Yeah, those are all.
Because he Elvis had a knack of having some out there songs, like in one that comes to my, In the Ghetto.
In the Ghetto.
I was watching a repeat of the Drew Carey Show.
Sure.
And they had a karaoke outing.
Yeah.
And Oswald and Lewis sang In the Ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my. And it was like out there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's still a good song.
It's a great song, charted hit, written by Mac Davis. Mac Davis had a number of great hits for Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good piece of music. Depends on how the show flows. There's kind of an art to song calling. You know, depends on if the group's up dancing. There's a number of folks that, at this particular show, there's a few folks that enjoy dancing. And I enjoy the fact that I'm able to provide that for them in that setting.
Absolutely.
That was a question I was going to ask you before the show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to leave some space for dancing, because them people usually crowd right up to the on top of you on the stage. They want to be able to reach you
right
up on that stage.
Well, you see, Mickey's walking a fine line, and he knows, and he already has to deal with the public. And there's a number of them that don't want their vision to the stage encumbered by anybody dancing in front of them. So he has to not only please the ones that want to dance,
right,
but he's got to please those that want to see the show. So I'm going to leave it up to him, because, you know, Teddy Roosevelt said, when you have good people working with you, have the good sense to stand out of their way. Right. So Mickey really does a fabulous job, because he'll probably put the dancing situation in an area which won't encumber the vision of anybody for the stage.
Absolutely.
Well, the only place I can put it is right in front of you.
Well,
and make it a smaller area so we can't block
that's
it.
Your prerogative.
And have the people where I start setting them up, I give them a little space.
Sure.
And they want to be front. If you,
well, you know, some of those people get there quite early.
I know a few ladies that will get there at 4:30 and put their 8 chairs out right next to the wall of the stage, and they can put their feet on that wall, and they get there at 5:00.
Right.
And one person comes over with the chairs, and the rest of them start coming in, and they sit down in that chair, so nobody can want to push them out of there.
That's right.
90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with a set list. Is that easy?
Well, yes, the answer is yes, it is easy, because when you deal with a body of work as large as Elvis's body of work is, mm-hmm, and your relationship to the audience is only 90 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and the body of work could comprise 22 hours, you know.
Oh, it could, easily.
Yeah, yeah. I sometimes the issuance isn't where to go for the body of work, but what to choose for that 90 minutes. Now, there are certain songs that are required. You know, you'd be remiss if you didn't do Hound Dog, mm-hmm, or Don't Be Cruel or Heartbreak Hotel. But once in a while, I'll throw in a surprise, like Kentucky Rain or My Way. Yeah. You Gave Me a Mountain. Mm-hmm. You know, those are some beautiful ballads that a lot of people will nod their head and go, oh, yeah, that's right, he did do that one. You know, and then they're pleasantly refreshed by that additional music that they were, maybe it wasn't huge chart-topping pieces, mm-hmm, but it's stuff they enjoy, you know.
There are some times that I think, and knowing that you were going to be on the program today, I was thinking, you know, today's music. Is there a song that Elvis could take, if he was still around, take and make his own?
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of good pieces of music.
Have you tried that?
Oh,
I'm just going to have a little fun for
sure.
You. Here's... I'm not saying Justin Bieber, but, you know.
Well, that's what's that song? Is it by Bruno Mars, If I Were Your Boyfriend?
Something like that,
yeah. I think Elvis would have really been able to take that piece of music and make that work.
Well, nowadays they usually write their own, don't they? Most of these people have somebody with their group that does it.
Oh, yeah. Strangely enough, out of 2,800 songs that Elvis recorded, Elvis is very, very minimally involved in the writing or publishing of any of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many did you say?
Over 2,800.
And how many years was he at this?
20.
20 years?
Uh-huh. But there was 33 motion picture soundtracks involved, and so you had a lot of people, you know, involved in the writing of his music. There's a lot of publishing involved with Elvis, but there's very little of it his.
It's hard to believe. It's been, 37 years,
uh-huh,
since his passing?
Uh-huh.
His following is still as big now as what it was back when he was alive. That's incredible.
It is incredible to take when Elvis died at he was the largest rewarded entertainer at $57 million at the time, and to think that they've parlayed that into $9.5 billion of industry that bears his image, likeness, and mechanical royalties for music.
I'm going to insert something in here.
Okay.
Because you're throwing money out, and that might scare the public. For the concert that the Cold Country Chamber puts on, this is our 10th year.
Yes, it is.
And you've been with us 8 years.
Well, thank you.
If I can say that, or 9 years. I'm sorry, 9 years.
Ongoing you've been 9 years. Yes.
And I remember the day we met. And it didn't come off good for me.
It did or didn't?
Did not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then, that was my fault.
Okay.
Well, anyway, what I wanted to mention here, if you come to this concert in the Bunnell City Park right in middle of downtown Bunnell, right off of Highway 138 and 4, there is no charge. There's no fee to get in. Bring your lawn chair because there ain't no seat places to sit. Number one, and there is no.
You need to work on getting the seating arrangement out there. Then
no. It works good. These people, they've been coming every year,
right,
faithfully. These 300 or 400 people coming, they bring their own chair, and if you want to sit under the pavilion right in front of the stage, you get there early. Mm-hmm. If you want to sit out on the grass on both sides.
Well, some people do prefer that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because like last night, a lot of the people went outside because there was no air staring under the pavilion.
Right.
But there is a little bit of food there. Mm-hmm. They have like Italian beef. We have Smokies.
Oh, I love those.
We have hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget the shortcakes.
Yeah, I was just going to say strawberry shortcake with ice cream.
You know, I gotta say this, and this is an unsolicited compliment to the strawberry shortcakes.
Okay, go
that's
ahead.
That's a really good value. Let's analyze how much is a strawberry shortcake.
$2.75.
All right, let me explain something. I'm from St. Louis, and my $2.75 at many confectionery stores doesn't get what I get in Bunnell at the park. That's actually a nice little deal.
You bring up a point.
Yeah,
I remember 30 years ago when I used to go out in the evening after church on Sunday night, and we would go over to the Howard Johnson's over in St. Anne's.
28 flavors of ice cream.
Right, but I would always get the strawberry shortcake, and I'd pay $4.50.
Then.
And this is back in the mid-60s when I was doing it. And now I'm only paying $2.75. I'm making a little money, but that helps us offset the cost of bringing the bands in and everything like that. But I just wanted to let them know there is no fee. There is no parking fee. You can park in the park or out on the street there.
And we try to, and it's an all-ages show. I'm real proud of the fact that we produce an all-ages show, so you can bring children and you can bring elderly adults, and everyone's going to have a good time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the Cult Following.
Oh, yeah.
The only one closest to what Elvis has, in my mind, and I could be dead wrong on this, Jimmy Buffett.
You could be correct. The Parrot Heads?
Yes. I mean, because you go to any of his concerts, whether it's in Indianapolis, Chicago, St. Louis.
You see those same type of people.
And it's always sold out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he has got a cult following. I mean, that's, to me, the living day. I'm not saying he was anything close to Elvis, because he's not. But
you're talking about the fervor of the fans.
Fervor of the fans.
Yeah.
That's got to be the closest thing. Other than Cher, which if you close your eyes when she sings sometimes, you do hear a little Elvis in her.
Well, you know, strange you should say that. She impersonates Elvis in her video Walking in Memphis. I wasn't really planning to do anything, and I wound up sitting on the front row watching that show. You know, it was kind of by accident, actually, but very entertaining. I thought her show was very entertaining.
And she keeps saying, this is my last tour, but next summer, Cher on tour. It's like, okay. But no, I mean, it's hard to believe, though, the repertoire that he's got.
Oh, yeah.
37 years after the fact. It's stronger than ever.
Oh, yeah.
Graceland is still a destination. And what amazes me about with him is he could have left Hollywood. He could have gone to Hollywood at any time. No, he stayed at home in Memphis.
Yeah.
That says something about that area.
Sure.
That he stayed home. You know, he could have easily with the movies.
They even asked him when he got out of the Army if he was going to sell Graceland. He said, no, I plan on staying here.
And that's incredible. Yeah. What allowed, in your mind, what allowed him to stay? What I guess, caused him to stay there?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that when he bought Graceland, his mom was still living. Mm-hmm. And so hence there's a lot of nuclear family roots connected to the home. He had other homes, mind you, right. But I don't think those homes have the remark or obviously the reputation of his home mm-hmm. in Memphis. He had homes in California, but I don't think he really considered those home. You know,
right.
Home. You know, the old cliche is home is where the heart is. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's obvious that it was a lot of sentimentality connected to Graceland. You know, it is to this day. It gets 6,800 visitors a day.
Don't try to go through there on August 16th because won't get through.
No, you won't. No, it's. I was there about 5 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it was hot, you know, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. You know, I don't go there to really collect any further information per se from the home itself. What I do is I try to find out how the advancement of the exhibition of the home is going. So I look at the exhibits. I see how they're conducting the tour. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first took this on as a study, there were two members of the household still living in the house. You know, and the tour was being conducted by members of the family.
The only time I've been to Graceland, mm-hmm. my uncle, and we've got a little bit left on the program. Mm-hmm. My uncle was going through, and they warn you right off the bat, no flash photography,
right?
Zip, nada, zilch.
Right.
My uncle bought a new camera that he didn't really know how to work.
Oh, no.
So there's this piano as you enter. Sure. I believe it's on to your right.
It is.
He took a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
The flash went off. We had security come down the stairwell of the bedroom. I mean, it was like he committed the world's biggest sin, and it's like, oh my, I didn't mean.
Did he get tossed?
No, he didn't.
He got warned.
He got warned.
Yeah.
And he didn't get tossed. Wow. But unreal.
Same thing when you go to the Alamo down in San mm-hmm. Antonio,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah.
I was first time when went in there, and I saw the sign. And
we got 30 seconds left. I didn't realize this. You're going to go talk with Terry sure. later on. Steve, it's always a pleasure
Tobin,
to
I love
have you.
You
here.
Thank you.
And I look forward to many more years for you coming in.
Absolutely.
Next week on the Wednesday talk show, we've got representatives from the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation here. So until then, we'll talk to you next week.
Bike ride.
We'll talk to you next week.